It's that holy night that brings us together this evening as we celebrate, as we bow and worship Christ, the newborn King. Tonight we also continue our First Baptist tradition of having our children involved in the celebration of Christmas by the reading of special scriptures on the Christmas story and the lighting of candles on our Advent wreath. Each week we've been lighting another candle. We started 4 weeks ago, first one candle, then second. And this morning we had all four of the outside candles lit. And tonight, we'll also light the center white one representing Christ. Waiting 1 week for another candle is a picture of the anticipation that the people waited in the Old Testament for the arriving of the promised Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. It's also an anticipation that we have today of the return and the second coming of Christ. So this evening, Trevor Shockey is going to be reading the scripture, and Alex Shockey is going to be lighting the candles.
Luke 2:1-7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem and town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child while they were there. And the time came for the baby to be born. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your timing is perfect. Even though Mary and Joseph were traveling, even though they're away from the comforts of home, when it was time for the birth of your son, you provided everything that they needed. And today, Lord, you still provide for all our needs. As we come before you this evening, may our praise and worship be pleasing and acceptable to you. Fill our hearts with joy, excitement, and anticipation as we worship you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
And gather all the wonder.
Time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth, placed him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks that night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were frightened. Because the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Stand with us as we sing. the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told, what they had heard about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The shepherd's response was to glorify and praise God. And that should be our continual response today as well. The Scriptures teach us to let our light so shine before men that they see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And one of the ways we do that here at First Baptist is by generously supporting our Deacons Fund. It's used throughout the whole year, not just at the holiday season, not just at Christmas time and Thanksgiving. Our ushers are prepared to receive an offering tonight for our Deacons Fund. It helps those that we know of within the family at First Baptist and others at their time of need. We have the food pantry as well. And this last week, we delivered food boxes to more than 16 families, as well as taking a good supply to the Franklin Abuse House, the abuse shelter. Your generous giving helps show the light of Christ to the world. Father, thank you as we have this opportunity to worship you through giving. May our hearts be joyous. May we give joyfully, cheerfully, hilariously, not out of necessity. We know that you love a cheerful giver. And then, Lord, use these to help us find the people that have needs and be able to minister to their needs. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. So far this evening, I've been reading the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke. But the Gospel of Matthew also has some of the Christmas story. It gives us details about Christ's birth. It starts in chapter 1 and verse 8. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. Then after telling us some details, Matthew declares in verses 22 and 23, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Starting with the first Sunday of December, we've been celebrating and walking toward Christmas with the theme, Celebrate the Miracle of Christmas. The first Sunday, Pastor Dale preached on the miracle of the message, with the main point being the miracle of the message is that Jesus saves. The second Sunday, yeah, your amens are okay. The second Sunday, Pastor Dale preached on the miracle of salvation, with the main point being, Jesus' purpose in coming was to provide salvation for you. The third Sunday, Pastor Nate preached the message on the miracle of God's timing, with the main point being the miraculous timing of Jesus' birth means that I can trust God. And this morning, Pastor Dale preached on the miracle of the Savior's birth, with the main point being, the key to witnessing a miracle is believing what God has said. Well, tonight I continue that series on the miracle of Christmas and celebrating it with a message simply titled, The Miracle of Christmas. Isn't that creative? Returning to Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus, remember that after we read this, how the birth of Jesus Christ came about, Matthew relates numerous details, and then he writes, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Much has been written and said about the miracle and the impossibility of the virgin birth. That, however, in my mind, is not the greatest miracle or seeming impossibility in that verse, although it definitely is a miracle. But God created Adam without using a human father or mother. And He created Eve from Adam's rib without any other help. So why couldn't He bring forth the birth of a baby from a woman's womb without the involvement of an earthly father? After all, He is God. And nothing is impossible with God. So why not? He's a great creator, isn't he? Yeah, the virgin birth of Jesus is definitely a miracle. But it seems to me that the greatest miracle of Christmas is that God purposely chose to dwell or live with us. Emmanuel, God with us. If we turn to John chapter 1, we read this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made that were made. Nothing was made without Him. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. You see, Jesus didn't begin to exist on that first Christmas. He was God with the Father in the beginning. He was with the Father God in the beginning. He just chose to take on the form of a human being at that point. It says in John 1:10, He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, Emmanuel, God with us. That a holy God would choose to live with us, to me, is the miracle of Christmas. That, to my human reasoning and thinking and wisdom, is a miracle. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. The story is told of a man named Bob. And for 51 years, Bob was blind. He couldn't see a thing. His world was black. Just a black hall of sounds and smells. He felt his way through 5 decades of darkness. And then he could see. A skilled surgeon performed a complicated operation, and for the first time, Bob had sight. He found it overwhelming. I never would have dreamed that yellow was so yellow, he exclaims. I don't have words. I'm amazed by yellow. But my favorite color, I just can't believe red. And at night, I look at the stars in the sky and the flashing light. You could never know how wonderful everything is. When was the last time you marveled at the color red? Or our ability to even see in color? Or even our ability to see? Perhaps when some circumstances are casualty causes us to consider it, we think about it. Otherwise, we just take it for granted. But Bob isn't the only one who's spent a lifetime near something without seeing it. Amazing, isn't it? We can be right next to something for great periods of time, but unless we take the time to focus on it, it doesn't become a part of our lives. Unless we somehow have our blindness lifted, we don't see what's right with us and recognize it for what it is. We get lost in the routines of life. We do not see the wonders of the miracles that are all around us. Who among us who has been present at a human birth has not wondered at such a miracle? What mother has not looked at those tiny hands and feet and counted each finger and toe and marveled at how they could move when they're just so tiny? But such experiences fade away when we continue with life in the routines and take life for granted. When was the last time you marveled at a group of junior highs kicking a soccer ball down a field?
With effortless skill, they coordinate countless muscles and reflexes, engaging and disengaging perfectly designed joints, all to one task, to move a ball through the grass. That's a miracle. A divine miracle. But we live among such miracles, and so we take them for granted. Rather than shocking the globe with an occasional demonstration of deity, God has opted to display His power daily. The firmament shows forth His handiwork. Every day, most of us take for granted what occurred hundreds of years ago. Emmanuel, God with us. It all happened in a moment. A most remarkable moment. As moments go, that one appeared no different than any other. If you could somehow pick it up off the timeline and examine it, it would look exactly like the ones that came before it and those who came after it. It was preceded and succeeded by others just like it. It was one of the countless moments that have marked time since eternity became measurable. But in reality, that particular moment was like none other. For through that segment of time, a spectacular thing occurred. God became a man. He chose to be Emmanuel, God with us. Sometimes we like to think we're such wonderful people. And we're so precious that God was just obligated to come and die for us. Let's consider how wonderful and precious mankind has been. Even when we look at just a small segment called God's chosen people. Think about it. For thousands of years, using his wit and charm, man had tried to be friends with God. And for thousands of years, he let God down more than he lifted him up. Time after time after time, man would do the very thing he promised he'd never do. It was a fiasco. Even the holiest of the heroes sometimes forgot whose side they were on. Some of the scenarios in the Bible look more like events on our evening news than for stories for vacation Bible school. Remember these characters. Aaron, right hand of Moses, witness to the plagues, member of the Red Sea Riverbed Expedition, holy priest of God. But if he was so saintly, what was he doing leading the Israelites in the fireside aerobics in front of a golden calf? A false made God. Or the sons of Jacob, the fathers of the tribes of Israel, great grandsons of Abraham. Yet if they were so special, why were they gagging their younger brother and sending him off to Egypt? David, the man after God's own heart, the king's king, the great giant slayer and songwriter. He's also the guy that let his passions and lusts get the best of him, leading him to commit adultery, lying, and murder. Or Adam, adorned in fig leaves and stains of forbidden fruit. Moses throwing both a staff and a temper tantrum. King Saul looking into a crystal ball for the will of God. Noah drunk and naked in his own tent. These are the chosen ones of God? That's the royal lineage of the King of Kings? These are the ones who were to carry out God's mission? These are the kind of people God would purposely choose to come and dwell with. Only God could love like that. To our human minds, that is a great impossibility, a miracle indeed. How absurd to think that such nobility would go to such poverty to share such a treasure with such a thankless soul. But he did. In fact, the only thing more absurd than a gift is mankind's stubborn unwillingness to receive it. That God would purposely choose to come and dwell with man, considering how sinful we are, is simply amazing. It's truly a miracle. For what earthly reason would a holy God deliberately choose to live among such a sad mess of people? But He did. And that, to me, is the miracle of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. Remember, the impossible is what God does best. And the reason He came was not earthly at all. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus' purpose in coming was to seek and to save those who were lost or separated from God. For Jesus came not just that God might live with us, but that God might live in us and change us from the inside out into the image of His Son. Let me back up. For Jesus came not just that God might live with us, but that God might live in us and change us from the inside out into the image of Jesus. God living in us, changing us into His image of His Son, Jesus. Now that really does seem like an impossibility. But remember, the impossible is what God does best. The truth is, the birth of Jesus was no accident. And the truth is, the death of Jesus on the cross was no accident either. We read the truth about Jesus' sacrifice in Acts chapter 2, when Peter addresses the crowd on the day of Pentecost, saying, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through Him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put Him to death by nailing Him to the cross." The truth is, the cross was no accident. No, it was part of God's plan, God's set purpose, and was drawn into the original blueprint. It was written into the script. The moment the forbidden fruit touched the lips of Eve, the shadow of the cross appeared on the horizon. Jesus was born to be the Savior of the world. Jesus was born to be crucified. It's recorded in John chapter 10 saying, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord," Jesus said. You know, at Christmas time, we like the warmth of thinking of Mary placing her newborn baby in the manger. Truth is, Mary's precious little lamb was born to be a sacrifice. This is why John the Baptist introduced Jesus to the crowds as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Do you see the true miracle? The true miracle of Christmas? Or have we been too close to it for so long that we take it for granted, don't appreciate it? The true miracle of Christmas is summed up in one word in my heart: Emmanuel, God with us. The miracle is that God chose to live with us, that God deliberately chose to die for us as unworthy as we are. Why would He want anything to do with us? It's beyond human reasoning, but it's not beyond the love of God. Not beyond the love of God, which is so expansive that as the days were drawing close for Jesus to be crucified, He gathered His disciples and said to them in John chapter 14, "Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." This year, this Christmas, open your eyes to the miracle of Christmas. God has chosen to live with us. Not only that, through Jesus, God has made it possible for Him to live within us, to change us from the inside out so that we might be conformed to the likeness of His Son. People have different views of what makes Christmas Christmas for them. For some, it's being with family. For others, it's parties, or the food, or sitting around a warm fire, the decorations, the lights, the carols, the candles. But Christmas isn't really Christmas until Jesus' purpose for coming to earth is fulfilled in you, until He is your Savior, until God lives in you. If you think that that's impossible, remember, nothing is impossible with God. Jesus came and to seek and to save those who were lost and separated from Him. But as many as received Him, He gave the power to become the sons of God, so they might be conformed to the likeness of His Son, Jesus. My friends, Christmas isn't Christmas until it happens in your heart. Our children's ministry here at First Baptist, called BLAST, Building Lives Around Spiritual Truth, has been practicing a presentation that sums that up. I'm going to ask the BLAST children to come forward at this time. They've been sitting with their parents to share this important spiritual truth with you, that Christmas isn't Christmas until it happens in your heart. Thank you, children. The true meaning of Christmas is simple and clear enough for a child to understand. But sometimes we live right amongst it, and we hear it again and again, and we don't respond to it. Has Christmas happened in your hearts? You know, as I look over the congregation tonight, I see people that I know Christmas has happened in their heart this year, since the last Christmas. What a joy. I trust it'll happen in your heart. You know, Pastor Dale began the series on December 3rd with the miracle of Christmas that Jesus saves. And he encouraged us to share that good news with others, to let others know about Jesus. We want to close our service tonight with a visual demonstration of the power of the light of God when each of us shares this with another. In John chapter 1, we read, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." And in Matthew 5:16, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light needed to dispel darkness. We are to receive that light, and then we're going to share that light with others. Each of you receives a candle in a holder when you entered tonight. Is there anyone who does not have a candle? Raise your hand if you didn't get a candle. I don't see any hands. Our candle distributors did extremely well. Let me share with you how we're going to do this tonight. You have a candle in a holder. I'm going to ask you, once your candle is lit, please do not tip it. In a moment, Pastor Nate is going to snuff the four candles around the outside of the Advent wreath, leaving the center one ready, representing Christ lit. I will light a candle from that. Then Pastor Dale and Pastor Nate will light their candles from that and come down each side of the center aisle to light the candles of the ones on the end of the aisle and then spread it. Remember, once your candle's lit, please don't tip it. Tip the unlit candle to light it. And then hold them in the holders. And just watch the visual of how the light spreads when we share the light of Jesus with one another. In a moment, I'll get this lit, and they'll turn down the other lights, and we can see the light.
Remember, this is an illustration of how the light spreads when we share it with one another. We encourage one another with God's Word. Just turn your heads and look around at the glow, the radiance on faces from the light. It was once in darkness, but now we see the light. As long as one light is burning, there's not darkness. The darkness cannot put it out. And very carefully just raise them up and see how much brighter it gets when we allow our light not to be hid under a bushel, but to be shared. You can bring them back down. We chose to do this in silence. It was a silent night. It was a holy night. Sing with me while our candles are still lit. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Jesus was born in a stable to dwell among us. He died on the cross, rose again, that He might dwell within us. Christmas isn't Christmas till it happens in your heart. You want to share Christmas with somebody? Share Jesus. Because Jesus will make the difference for all of eternity. Thank you for being with us tonight. We want to safely extinguish our candles. And you do that by kind of putting your hand in front of it and gently blowing. And then we have containers at the doors for you to leave your candles. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the gift of Christ, for the beauty of Christmas, for the miracle that you would choose to dwell with us and change our hearts. May we be bold in sharing, that others might have Christmas in their hearts this year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas.